If today's reading of the book of Jonah was all we knew about Jonah's story, we would be missing so much. Because in today's reading, Jonah sounds kind of perfect. God says, do something, Jonah did it. Something we didn't hear was the part of Jonah's original call from God. You know, it's right out of the chute, chapter 1, verse 1. It says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, saying, go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. This is what Jonah ended up doing, but it was not straightforward. After God called Jonah, he panicked. There was no way he was going to say yes to God's call. He clearly doubted his ability to do what he was called to do, and he clearly didn't trust God enough that he felt God was going to follow through and give him what he needed to do. Even though Jonah clearly heard God's call, he didn't even bother to answer God. Instead, he just set out. He fleed. He did not want to be in the presence of God. And so he headed off to Tarshish. God does work in mysterious ways, because even though Jonah was running from God, God used this opportunity for some sailors to profess to God and even make sacrifice to him. Still used Jonah, even though Jonah was running. Some of us might remember that Jonah gets on the boat to Tarshish, and God brings a mighty storm on the boat. The captain wants to know what's going on, and he goes to Jonah, and Jonah all of a sudden becomes an evangelist. He didn't even realize it. He says, I'm Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of the heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Now, this knowledge, this sharing of it to the captain and to the crew, it made the sailors believe. He's the God of the sea. They understood the sea. And they cried out. They cried out to the Lord and they said, please, O Lord, we pray, do not let us perish on account of this man's life. Do not make us guilty of innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked Jonah up and they threw him into the sea. And the sea ceased from its raging. Now, it did what they wanted, but it scared them more. It says that they feared the Lord even more, and it was then that they offered sacrifice. They made sacrifice to what they had done. We didn't hear how the Lord swallowed Jonah up by the whale or the big fish. We didn't hear that today, and how he stayed there 3 nights. We didn't hear Jonah pray to the Lord by saying, I am driven away from your sight. How shall I look again upon your holy temple? Because it was then in that prayer that the Lord decided that Jonah, he was coming around. It was time to give him another chance, and he told the fish to release Jonah and spews him up onto the dry land. And that brings us right to today's gospel. It's really God's second calling of Jonah. And this time he responded. Through Jonah's faithfulness to follow God's call, the king of Nineveh and the whole city repented. Even with outward and visible sign, they repented, and God knew that they meant it. There's something about an outward and visible sign when we repent. It is that turning away. And God saved them. Now, if we continue this story, we do hear about Jonah having a little relapse into doubts and anger, this little battle going on with God. But what we don't hear, too, is God bringing a whole holistic understanding for Jonah. He gives him a big picture. I wish I knew what happened next. Was there a third calling? We don't know. The story ends. Did God use Jonah again? I'm pretty sure that God did, because God will use us over and over again. You see, Jonah did not feel qualified to be called by God, but God called him anyway. God wanted Jonah, so God gave him the ability for him to succeed. It wasn't about God calling somebody who was qualified. No, his qualification came after the calling. God was not going to leave him alone. Now, really, there's a pattern about this. Moses, same thing. God calls Moses to save his people, to rescue them from the Egyptians, to bring them out into the land of milk and honey. But Moses didn't think he was qualified. He even worried that he couldn't speak. And so God, doing what God does, he brings those qualifications and surrounds him with his brother Aaron, who becomes Moses' voice for him. There was Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet of the nations." Before he was even formed in the womb, his response is, "I do not know how to speak. I'm too young." He doubts his qualifications to go and to be the voice of God. I mean, Esther, an orphan adopted by her cousin Mordecai, she ended up saving all the Jews in Persia. We know the story of Samuel. He was just a boy. God called him. And there's Gideon, a young man who would rather just gather food and hide from his enemies. He was very polite, though. I love it. Every time he responds to God, Gideon says, "Pardon me, Lord." That's how he begins. "Pardon me, Lord." I love it. But he says, "How can I do this? How can I save Israel?" He says his clan was the weakest one, and he was the weakest in his family. But God knows what God's doing, and God called Gideon anyway, and he became a great leader and a great warrior for the Lord. This pattern, all throughout our history and relationship with God, it continues. We hear about a call today where Jesus strolling by on the beach, and he calls Simon Peter and Andrew, and he calls James and John. How qualified were these fishermen to do what Jesus wanted them to do? I don't think they were qualified at all. And Jesus knew that, and so he gives them a little message to kind of give them some encouragement, saying, "Oh, but we're going to fish for people now." Gave them something that they could relate to nudge them enough that they would actually follow. What's God calling you to do? Because the pattern continues. I easily recall the development of the call to the priesthood. I was not qualified. I was afraid. But I had enough people, God's hands, pushing me and encouraging me to do it. And so here I am, 16 years later. God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. But we have to listen. We have to listen to what God's calling us to do and have the courage to do it. Now, the callings in our lives, they happen all the time. And it doesn't have to be big calls like, "Oh, I want to be a priest." No, that rarely happens. But it does. God's calling you to be God's hands and voice in this world somehow, somewhere. But we have to have the courage to listen enough and then respond. We have to be able to say yes. You know, why does it take to be in the belly of the fish 3 days before we say yes? I mean, that's got to stink, really. But see, there's the other bit. There's a calling, but Jesus says, follow. Follow. We certainly have a calling to follow Jesus, and that's frightening. Because Jesus is calling us to do things that are out of our comfort zone, to live as Jesus lived, to stand up for what Jesus stood up for. A lot of people were called to gather yesterday, a lot of women. The thing is, women were called to the early church as leaders as well. God called them to go outside the norm and create a community that was like no other. God's still calling us to do that today. And there's so many people who don't even know to open their ears to that. That's where we come in. Jonah didn't mean to, but he was an evangelist. He had the courage to speak the truth of who he was and what he believed in. He had the opportunity. He wasn't standing on a street corner. The opportunity came to him. Let's open our ears and open our hearts and respond to God's call. Amen.